This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White. A special program. Dr. Wyatt wants to share some insights into what is effective prayer. It is more than repeating familiar words. It is to be the reality of Father. Hallowed be thy name.
Thank you, Dennis. We will look at the Lord's Prayer, but also a number of other topics. Sharon reads only a portion from the sixth chapter, but we will find truly what it is that our Lord is asking of us.
He was praying, and when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Thank you, Sharon. This little shared word is again about how our Lord turns our expectations of religion upside down. Or you could say it turns it on its ear. Here I have only Sharon's reading of what is called the Lord's Prayer, but there is much more, and it all entails what has been called the remarkable secret of our faith, that our faith is to be exercised apart from being a show or a demonstration or to be seen, that our prayers, our contributions, our fasting is to be done not to be seen by others, but only by God, who will know our real motives and what is truly on our heart. It is often difficult to do, for we all desire praise, recognition for the good things we do. And of course, some things we do, because we have compassion, we care or love others, will be seen. But the point is, why do we do them? Is it to be seen, or do we do them because our hearts tell us to? Here Matthew shares our Lord's words on almsgiving and uses the description of those who would make a big show of their regular contributions to the temple, with trumpets blowing and public announcements of who was doing what. Trumpets is surely over the top for any of us, but we all know how people want their giving noticed. Our Lord's instructions are symbolic, of course. There is no way to keep your left hand from knowing what your right hand is doing. But the message is clear. Our motives in giving are to be pure. There should be no desire to be noticed, that others would know how much you're giving and for what cause. You give out of a heart of love and compassion, of understanding that the church, a particular outreach or mission effort, is deserving, has needs, and you can help. When a ministry will spend broadcast or television time reading off the names of contributors and how much they give, something is amiss. When time and service is required to honor those who have given, maybe the motives have been squandered or damaged. For our Lord is quite clear. They have their reward. Does that mean that doing such for the honor of being noticed means there is no reward for such in heaven? It does seem so, for at least that act. Jesus, of course, will not leave it there, but will now include the act of prayer. This, too, is to be an act done with the right motives, and not as the hypocrites do, as he says. A word we all know is taken from the Greek dramatic stage and is one who is playing a part. It is not their true self. Prayer, like giving, is not to be used to impress others. Prayer is simply our communion with God, not some way of increasing one's reputation or esteem in the eyes of others. Of course, our Lord's description reflects the custom of the first century, when standing was a common position for prayer. One might wish to adopt a more submissive position for prayer, like being prostrate, kneeling, or even seated, but standing was normal, especially in the temple, for those moments of public prayer, mid-morning, noon, mid-afternoon, and near nightfall. But Jesus is also noting the act of standing in a synagogue. This would take a very public position, which could only be seen of others. And likewise, Jesus mentions the street corners, which implies that they have purposely planned to be out on one of the four times of day when Jews were called to prayer. The hypocrites at those moments would stop and pray, standing again, only to be seen by the populace. Jesus is making it plain that this is to gain the reward of admiration, and this is what you desire. But one is to pray not to be noticed, but to do so in private. For God, who sees in our private moments, will reward one for the true nature of our heart and our real motives. Of course, this is not as if Jesus is condemning public prayer or our praying in front of others, but he is speaking of those who maximize, play up their prayers even in a public service. It is about having a simple focus on God, not the audience. When Jesus speaks of that secret place, what it is praying where and when it is about God alone. And when he speaks of not praying as the Gentiles do for their many empty words, he is speaking of Gentiles as over against the Jews, that Gentiles, before they come to know Jesus as Savior, have no understanding, no comprehension of the true nature of God, and as such would spend an incredible amount of time heaping up words, often phrases that had no meaning to the speaker, which is something one can still hear when people will speed through some memorized rote phrase a number of times. Do they really think that what they are supposedly saying is meaningful in any way or is necessary to say 20 or 50 times? Is that what God really desires of us in prayer? Or does he actually desire us to speak from our hearts? Here our Lord has simply said, don't pray as they do. God is really not impressed if you repeat something 100 times. But instead, are you really trying to share your hopes, dreams, needs to him from your heart? God knows what you need before you even ask. But he has asked us to knock, seek, and ask. But to do so sincerely, meaningfully. What now follows is what has been called since the beginning as the Lord's Prayer. This prayer is found also in Luke's gospel as well, but slightly different. And since it does vary, it is probably true that this prayer is not in any way to be a rigid form, but was given as a pattern for prayer, rather than something to be repeated verbatim. Besides, we have already discovered that our Lord dislikes empty repetition. The pattern he provides here is simplicity in its form, concise, with clarity and spiritual comprehension. I have at other times dealt with this prayer, but let us briefly highlight its points. It is to be personal, even intimate. It is our Father who art in heaven. It is the opening address and points us to a new understanding of our God. And at the same time, as he is in heaven, states he is infinitely greater. In antiquity, one's name meant a great deal more than being one's mere identity. A name was tied up with who a person was. This was especially true of God. A name not to be taken in vain, but hallowed, made holy, for he is holy. All is to be done in reverence. Here is our expression of his nature and our need to express our appreciation and due honor to who he is. He who is holy will be seen to be holy and is to be so treated and is to be so treated throughout his creation. His kingdom is also an important concept in this gospel. This kingdom is present in the very person of Jesus. But here the kingdom, this reign of God, is in our prayers to be our hope and anticipation of that time when evil is done away with, and we pray that God will act and bring about his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We are not asking for us to bring about his kingdom here, but that God would establish, bring it to its full realization, all that his reign, his kingdom means, and that his will be done. Then we ask that he provide our daily bread. Our God is concerned for our physical needs, but the idea of daily bread surely is to remind us of daily provision of the bread of heaven, manna, during the wilderness sojourn of the children of Israel. I find it of great comfort that God will provide always what we need, especially when we are in those times of wilderness wandering, of days of trial and testing. He is always there. We are as well to forgive, for we have been forgiven. This again is a similar reminder of Israel's testing in the wilderness, which they would fail. May our Lord keep us from such temptation, such testing, and keep us from evil. Prayer, like our giving, is not primarily for public consumption, just the opposite. Now our Lord touches briefly on fasting, perhaps the most misunderstood of Christian acts of worship. Here is an act that our Lord describes as being of no concern to anyone except the one fasting and our Lord. Anyone who fasts should take care to keep it private. But unfortunately, fasting is too readily used by those who like to make a show of their piety. They certainly did so in the first century. Pharisees fasted 2 days a week, and apparently too many made it very apparent that they were engaged in fasting, or perhaps made it look like they were. They might even put ashes on their head, do what they could to look haggard, shallow, and hungry. As Jesus will say, they appear to others as fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. Instead, Jesus tells the Jews of the first century, when they fast, to anoint your head. No ashes, please. Wash your face. In other words, don't appear to be fasting, but fast to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will recompense you. All these acts are not for others, but done for our Father who not only knows our acts, but why we really do them, and will honor us if we do them for him, not for others to notice. These, like all we do for God, are for the service to him and his kingdom, not as a means for self-gratification. Fasting, as is giving, even prayer, has been too often abused or used to be seen, make us appear spiritual, when it is a sure sign when done to be noticed means exactly the opposite. You are not attuned to God, his purpose, or his desire. As he continues here, we are instead to lay up treasures in heaven, not lay up your wealth or what we accumulate here on earth where it can be destroyed, lost, stolen, or wasted away. Instead, serve God privately, in secret, also as fishers of humanity, showing love, concern, a desire for others to know the wonder and joy of being in Christ Jesus. Here is where we can lay aside a true treasure, a life of eternal bliss and his eternal presence. Even here, loving with the joy and peace of knowing his faithfulness, enabling presence, and always his amazing love. For we are to be wholeheartedly in the service of our Father. We are to be the light, not in darkness. One cannot be both. One is either light or darkness, and as well, it is impossible to give allegiance to both God and mammon. Mammon is often translated as money, which is true as far as it goes. But the meaning of the Aramaic mammon is not confined. It means any and all possessions, what we crave or put our natural trust in rather than God. In our day, it could be anything one craves or desires. Clearly, one cannot serve two such demanding masters. One cannot be at the same time a servant or slave to both God and anything else that would consume your interest or desire. You cannot. This is a term with no compromise or divided emotion. Our Lord is not asking, but demanding our full devotion. This is our calling to abide, walk, and live in Christ, and not to do it halfway, no partial devotion. We are, as he says elsewhere, to seek first the kingdom of God. And when it comes to our treasures, this is where your heart is. This we must want with him in heaven. O my Lord, let our faith be that of single service and love of you. Yes, we must do what is necessary for life, but let our hearts, our mind, our spirit be captivated in you. Let us not act to be seen of others, but to do all to be seen by you. For it is for thy kingdom to come that we desire, on earth as it is in heaven. All for your glory forever. Amen and amen.
In the request to teach us to pray, we have discovered much more than simply repeating a few phrases, and prayer should be more than that. Prayer is a special communion with God and can lift us to a place in Him that can be both unique and often overwhelming. It is something that is there for every believer. To help you in your undertaking, Thomas is offering his study, Prayer and Fasting. Here is a biblical look at both of these behaviors, how they are often misunderstood, yet what they should be. Do write this week and ask for your study, Prayer and Fasting. It is yours at no charge. We pray you have been touched by the Wings of Healing broadcasts, and that even in these financially challenging times, you would consider being a part of this outreach. We are listener-supported, and your help keeps this broadcast on your wonderful radio station. Join with us in getting the Word of God to a world that so needs to hear it. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org.
Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. This has been, for me, a wonderful effort. And I also appreciate what others have shared in what they are doing. Richard of Houston, Texas, tells us of his desire to serve God in whatever way he can as he works at the local food bank. Of Carol of Brooklyn, who serves as a nurse in a post-traumatic care home. And Larry, who offers to do whatever he can for those in his church who are unable to make simple home repairs. I know our Lord is so pleased with all of their efforts and 1,000 others that also serve. So please do write and keep me informed. Now, before Dennis gives our addresses once more, Kyle performs Sharon's own beautiful hymn, A Distant Place. Do enjoy. So until next week, may you embrace God's enabling spirit for whatever he has called or makes it possible for you to do in his name.
Oh, alone with God in a distant place, seeking answers to win life's race. My prayers are for Him alone to hear, though He's in heaven, He's always near. In a distant place I love to be, I feel my God so close to me. I hear His voice so gently say, all is well, my child, all is well today. Alone with God in a distant place, seeking answers to win life's race. My prayers are for Him alone to hear, though He's in heaven, He's always near. In a distant place I love to be, I feel my God so close to me. I hear His voice so gently say, all is well, my child, all is well today. Protected there, He hears every word of every prayer. In Him I find that true sense of peace will ease my mind and cares release. Alone am I in that distant place, full of amazing grace. I reach out the angel's nod and let me touch the face of God. Alone am I in that distant place, full of His amazing grace. I reach out the angel's nod and let me touch the face of God.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries, a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. We also encourage you to write with any questions or inquiries. And always, CDs of our program are available if you will but write and ask. And this week, Dr. White is offering so very appropriately, considering what has been said, his study, Prayer and Fasting. This is a scriptural look at two disciplines and privileges of our Christian faith, which are often misunderstood. If interested, you should ask for Prayer and Fasting. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses once more are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. White at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry on the Internet at thomasrwyatt.org or on facebook.com/Wings of Healing Radio. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised.
to those that love him.